it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass, and this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are breaking down everything regarding that Falcons game yesterday. They did lose 23-20 to the Bucs. Michael Penix completed 27 of 42 passes for 298 yards and one touchdown. Unfortunately, the kick by Koo at the end could have extended the game, but it wasn't successful. And we are taking your calls all morning. See how you're feeling. Kind of a temperature check. See how Falcons Nation is holding up today. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Reese. Reese is on his way to work in Covington. Reese, what's going on?
Hey, man. Good morning, y'all. Long-time listener, first-time caller in. Look, I got a few opinions. First of all, I was on Grayson's football team back in 2012 during their first state championship as an inside linebacker. Right now, I coach a middle school right now that's very, very successful. And when I was watching the game yesterday, I could diagnose even. I'm just a middle school coach. I could diagnose every time they're going to run the ball. You bring Charlie Warner on motion to the left, to the right. I knew immediately they're going to run that way. And first of all, also, I want to know why we're in the pistol on every single play except for one on the goal line where Penix goes under center. I'm just a bit confused as to that kind of scheme. I don't really understand. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to run. So I'm just a bit confused. I think that's the point. I'm not sure if anyone else brought that up, but to me, it just didn't make sense as to why we're in the pistol everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we lost them. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
and thank you.
Reese.
Thank you for listening. Obviously, I will say this, and we've brought this conversation up numerous times. The pistol is something that is easier for the quarterback to get to the handoff point for wide zone. And that's why it's been implemented so much to us. You can't run wide zone out of shotgun. I know a lot of people think you can. You just can't. You can run mid zone. You can run inside zone. You can run duo out of shotgun. You just can't run wide zone. So you go into the pistol so that you can get to the handoff point for wide zone so that the cutback lanes and the reach blocks and things like that are put into motion. Now, as far as the Charlie Warner things go, but I agree with him. I hate to, but I'm completely agreeing with him. As a matter of fact, it set Charlie Warner up to be exposed. There was a couple of times that those inside linebackers, Servasio Dennis, come down and exploded on him one time when he was put into motion because he knew exactly where the play was going.
I've got the film playing on loop, and I've got the exact play you're talking about. And Servasio Dennis, who played really well, he was out most of we didn't see him last year. He missed, I think, all but like four games. And those were like the first four. But I just watched like literally that play, and you know, boom. That's part of it. They can't run inside on Tampa Bay because of number 50, and so everything gets put out, and that's part of that. Extension of that game, and it kind of change it limits what they can do. I think you might have said this. It's a bad matchup for them with Tampa in the run game. That's why their success comes to that point. Their corners can't cover your receivers. And for whatever.
Call. So that's a good call.
But for whatever reason, you couldn't push the ball downfield yesterday effectively. And that to me, if you want to really get to we can give Penix his flowers all we want. And I'm sounding really a Penix problem. It's probably a Zach. It's a Penix. It's a Dwayne Ledford, an offensive line, a protection, a receiver thing.
Darnell Mooney thing as well.
Yeah. Yep. You did not do a good job of winning downfield. You didn't do a good job of having time to throw the ball downfield. And you didn't do a good job when you did throw the ball downfield because Penix missed passes yesterday downfield.
Well, and I think the play with 10 seconds left to Kadir Hodge that I know numerous people have already tweeted us about, there's something to be said for that too. I thought that was actually a good throw. He's just not looking for the ball. The Casey Washington play that was broke up in the fourth quarter down that left sideline.
The Antoine Winfield play on Casey Washington
really good.
Was phenomenal.
Really good.
The Kadir Hodge is, at the worst, illegal contact.
Yes.
Because the reason Kadir Hodge wasn't looking for the ball, because he got ran into.
Yeah.
And it knocked his concentration off, and he looks up, and the ball's going over his head. You know, as much as I kill him, I thought Kyle Pitts did a really good job late in the game yesterday.
Yep.
Staying alert, staying in the game, and finding him a way to get open and be an outlet for Michael Penix. You know, we can – look, it just comes back to, and you said it, and it's such a phenomenal point. It's the exact same game on Thursday night last year.
Exact same.
But your kicker has been wrong for way too much lately, and that's where the game went wrong. Now, look, doesn't all come down to one play. Your defense, Rukororo can't make a stupid penalty where you hit Baker Mayfield out of the pocket when he's throwing the ball away, and it just – did he embellish it a little bit? Sure, but don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think we'll break it down frontward and backwards. One of the other things I was looking at, you know, Kirk Cousins last year got sacked four times for 32 yards. Threw for 509, but got sacked four times. That was part of the inefficiency as well. And I'm with you. I mean, I was just about to go to Twitter and read our buddy Chance that always tweets at us. He had a good tweet, I thought. He thought Kyle Pitts actually looked decent, to your point. He said visibly more effort. He said the right tackle was decent in pass rush. Not great in the run game. I completely agree with that. Let up one sack in a key moment. Defense held the Bucs to 260 yards of total offense. Great point. They were one of the best offenses in the NFL last year, but we are still missing sacks. I feel that as well. Caden Ellis had a couple that you got stepped through that I thought could have landed and sent us home, but they did affect Baker a lot of times.
They scored three touchdowns yesterday. Two of them came on short field opportunities.
Yep.
The punt return. If you just want to get down to it, special teams was not very good yesterday. At all. You give up the big punt return. You missed a game time field goal. You should have probably missed an extra point, but it knocked in. You didn't do very well on kick returns. You also had Kadir Hodge get that block in the back on that final drive, which puts you backwards, which whatever sets you back. So your special teams wasn't very good yesterday, but the fact that they had three touchdowns and two of them were on short field, the fourth down turnover on downs, and then the punt return. I think overall we can nitpick the defense, but again, you held Mike Evans to 51 yards receiving. You held Bucky Irvin to 2.5 yards a carry. If you take away Baker's 39 yards on scrambles, they had something like 60-something yards rushing.
Yeah.
Well, and we do have a lot of tweets coming in. Fast and Furious at 929 Morning Shift with a lot of great points out there. Pastor Herb tweeted, in short yardage situations, why don't we run a read option with Penix? I feel like that is open all day because no one is expecting it.
I said this yesterday on the post game of Grant McCauley. I would expect at some point when you run a wide zone offense, and I just mentioned sometimes you can run mid zone when you go out of the shotgun. You can run a mid zone play. We've done that in years past where you've kind of sprinkled in a little bit of mid zone. It kind of looks like wide zone. And you can run a read option out of that. You can run an inside zone and run a read option off of that. That was an Arthur Smith staple. Arthur Smith understands wide zone with the best of them. As much as you don't like him as a head coach, the man can coach a wide zone offense. And that was one of the staples with Desmond Ridder. Once you got inside the 20s, you saw a zone read. And that's the thing with wide zone. Great between the 20s. Start getting in shorter field, then all of a sudden it becomes a little more difficult and things tighten up. I am sure, I am positive at some point we'll see that, right? Like, we're going to see the zone read coming sometime.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's a wrinkle that they'll work in, especially based off of what he did yesterday with his legs. Can you answer a question for me? I don't know if you can. I don't want to put you on the spot. But
I'll do my best.
How come every time we ran a bootleg, there was a free rusher in his face?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because Arch did a great job of talking about this on the broadcast. And there's numerous ways to run bootlegs, right? That is a naked bootleg. What you were talking about yesterday and what we pretty much only ran was naked bootlegs. Now, we ran half boots at times, which were great, and you protected the backside. The first touchdown pass to Bijan is a half boot. If you watch the play action, he just kind of rotates right there in the pocket and kind of settles down, right? Wag, whatever you want to call it. It's like a half boot play action kind of thing where he moves the pocket and then settles in. I don't know why we never adjusted away from the naked bootleg. Now, people are saying, oh, that's bootlegs are built on. He was crashing the backside. They were doing it multiple ways, and they were not honoring the run on the backside for the most part. They didn't have to because they had a five-man defensive front a lot of the time that you were going against them, and they built that defense that way. Here's what I'll say, and Archer brought this up. I don't know why we never adjusted that. Like, you can run plays where you simply, you slice back with Charlie Warner across the formation and put Charlie Warner in the flat, or you just simply line up Charlie Warner on the backside or Kyle Pitts. You shove the defensive end so that it's not a naked bootleg and kind of ricochet him, and then you leak into the flat. Or a running back kind of chipping out. You know, we had multiple formations yesterday with two running backs in the game. You can chip on the way out. I don't know why they never adjusted that at any point. I don't know why Zach Robinson continued to go back to the naked bootleg, I guess thinking that Michael Penix could outrun that defense, but he was not put in good spots. And we never adjusted the bootleg game yesterday to reflect what they were trying to do up front defensively. It was definitely frustrating. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, and I think the comments I'm seeing on Twitter, it looks like fans have more questions than answers from yesterday's game. We're going to continue to go through some of these questions you have. Tyler Thomas, I see you hanging on the line. Thank you for calling. We just ran out of time right now, but we will be taking more calls throughout the show. Coming up next, we're going to zoom out a little bit, see how everyone else fared for week one in the NFL. And I've got a question for Dylan about his Philly excursion. I think I caught something. It is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.